Hello and welcome to Short Stories on the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, we share two stories. The first is Graham, an adult adoptee who shares his story of adoption in the late 1950s. The second is Pam, a first mum who had a child at the age of 14 in a very different time. That child was subsequently adopted. But first of all to Graham. Graham is frank about the challenges that he's faced, as he's since been reunited with his mother and siblings. He also shares the impact of adoption on him through his life. Some of the details of his story may be upsetting for listeners who have experienced adoption from whatever perspective, so as ever, we do advise you some caution. If you have any doubt, then do pass this to a friend to listen to screen it for you first. On to Pam. Again, Pam is frank about the challenges that she has faced since the time that she had her child adopted. She does share details of the reunification and how that has gone for her. She also shares some personal information, which again may be upsetting for listeners who have experienced adoption. So again, we advise caution, and if you have any doubt, then please pass this to a friend to screen it for you.
Could you tell me how you found out that you were adopted?
I was 17 going on 18, had a fairly ordinary childhood, felt I was fairly happy, always felt a little bit distanced from my parents, but didn't put two and two together, think anything of it. But I wanted to go away with some friends. We had the opportunity to go abroad, so I needed my birth certificate. So I'd asked my mum for my birth certificate, and when she gave it to me, it was a year out of sync of when I was actually born. I was born in 54, and my birth certificate said 55. And so I asked them, and they said, well, we've got something to tell you. Didn't really think too much of it. I didn't really understand what the problem might have been, but they sat me down and just said, well, actually, you're not our son, we adopted you. And I was totally flabbergasted. I felt like a carpet or a rug had been pulled out from under my feet, that all the years that had gone before were suddenly, I was not who I should be, or was who was I? I was just totally gobsmacked. They'd always told me, whenever I got into trouble, if I told the truth, that they wouldn't be that hard on me, or, you know, things would be much better. And to be told this when I was 18 was quite an amazing, had an amazing effect on me, and completely changed how I viewed myself and how I viewed my adoptive parents, which in some respects isn't fair on them, because I'm sure for whatever reason they wouldn't have, I don't think they would have told me unless I'd actually wanted to get something with my birth on to get, as I say, I can't remember, I think it was my driving license I had to get me. And I was just flabbergasted. I felt that my life was a lie. I felt really angry that they hadn't told me. That subsided after a while. And then I felt really hurt. Really, really hurt. I felt a pain that I've never felt before. And interestingly, at that time, I vowed I would never feel it again. I felt hurt by my birth family. Felt second rate. I thought, well, what have I done to be given away? And I felt hurt by my adoptive parents for not telling me. I found that really difficult. It always felt, and the feeling grew as I got older, that there was part of me missing, and I was desperate to to find that missing piece, where I came from, why I was given up, what were the reasons behind that. But I was also torn. I had a lot of respect for my adoptive parents, and I knew it would hurt them if I went off and looked for them. Although I did try when I was 21. I didn't tell them. I tried at 21, but couldn't get anywhere. I didn't really know who to turn to and who to ask. And we were talking about the late 70s. I also tried in 80, a few years later, just after I got married, actually. We sat down, my wife, and we sort of tried to sort things out. And we got as far as back to the address where I was born. But nobody in the area then seemed to remember the family. So I put it on the back burner for a while. My adoptive parents were still alive. I still felt duty bound to them not to sort of rock the boat. They would tell me different stories about what had happened. Gave me their version, whether that was right or wrong at that time, I didn't know. I probably accepted that as much as I could, but part of me still wanted to know the truth, still wanted to know where I came from. Why? It was always the question, why? Why me? So I then got to the point in my life where I got to an age it was going to be now or never, to find.
So how old were you when you finally managed to get in touch?
I was 1998, so I was 44 when I got in touch with my birth mum. I had tried it by going to the library and looking back in all the records to find, because I had a name, and I just tried to trace that back. And managed to do that with the help of my wife. She was very supportive, and found out that there was three siblings in front of me and two siblings after me, which obviously heightened my questions of why I was fourth in line, why was it me that was given up. So at 44, going through social services, they contacted my birth mum and arranged for her to ring me at home, and she did, and it was an amazing phone call. She was really pleased to hear from me, which it could have gone the other way, and we spent about an hour and a half talking on the phone. She wasn't very forthcoming on the reasons why, but told me I was full brothers. I was a full brother to my three brothers, and obviously full brother to my two sisters. They actually didn't know of my existence. So it was quite a traumatic thing for my birth mum, because after I got in touch, she actually had a family meeting with them to tell them that they had another sibling. And I went down to meet them all in one weekend, which probably wasn't the best way of doing it, but I was on such a high of being in touch. I just wanted to cram in as much as I could. I met my birth mum, my birth dad, only a few months before he died, and all of my siblings, all five of them. They were, what can I say? They were fine. You know, there was no huggy huggies you see on the TV and sort of wonderful and tears. There probably was a bit with my birth mum, but yeah, it was a good time. But in hindsight, was too much too soon. I had unrealistic expectations of being in a family that I wasn't in. Perhaps believing I could recapture perhaps something that I'd lost. I have major regrets about not being in a big family, because I was brought up as an only child. Incredibly traumatic. Completely changed my way of doing things and completely did things out of character for a while, thinking I could suddenly make up for lost time, I could be part of this family. But actually that was never going to be. I'm completely different. I'm a different character. I may have some of the traits of my brothers and sisters, but I was brought up differently. And after about 6 and 9 months of being on cloud nine and desperately trying to fit into a new family, I hit the brick wall of realization that that was never going to be. And I went into quite a depression, just because I think I had loads of regrets, loads of different feelings, different emotions that I probably have hid for years, thinking that I wasn't good enough. I mean, I'd got a great response from my birth mum, and I still have that, a fairly good relationship with her. But I think I hit a feeling that you can't regain something you've lost. And although I wanted so much to capture that, you can't, and I couldn't.
Did you ever find out why you'd been adopted?
No. My birth mum said she couldn't cope. She'd had 4 children in 4 years. I was the fourth of that fourth. As far as she was aware, I suppose you might call it postnatal depression now. It might not have been recognised way back then. But she's got no recollection, thank you, of what happened. And the people that did take charge of what happened have all gone now. I've accepted that to a point, but it still doesn't take away how I feel, in the sense that I found it incredibly difficult to accept that she had 2 more kids after me. And I'm never going to get the I's dotted and the T's crossed to find out why. And I find that difficult. Even if it had been some horrible reason, I would rather know than live in this vacuum where, I don't know, you sort of think, you know, you've done something wrong, or you weren't good enough, or, yeah, I'm going to go to my grave not knowing, because there's nobody to tell me. So it's something I live with and accept to a certain extent. But I'd still like to know. It would be good to know the reasons behind it all. But it's never going to be.
Could you tell me about your first experience of adoption?
I was 14 years old and became pregnant. And in those days, not like as it is today, teenage pregnancy was very much frowned upon, very much a social stigma, and certainly there was never any expectation that a teenage mother would be taking her baby home, certainly not in my family, in my community. So sadly, my parents decided that the answer to this was to send me away and put me into a mother and baby home. So I went into care and spent several months in what I can only describe as an incredibly scary environment with lots of other young women who, like myself, were having unplanned pregnancies. It was quite frightening, really, not least of which because of my age, but also just in terms of the other young people who were there, and some of whom were quite aggressive, violent, certainly didn't come from backgrounds like my own, and I found that quite a challenge. But going through the pregnancy, the stigma was very powerful, really, and it was visible in the way that people dealt with you. And so eventually, when it came time for me to have my baby, I was admitted to hospital and had to sign my own consent, because I had to have a caesarean after 17 hours of labour. They finally decided that I needed to have a caesarean. So I was there alone, nobody with me at all, signed my consent myself, excuse me, and was taken to theatre. And when I came round, at the bottom of my bed was this beautiful baby boy. Now, sadly, in those days again, you weren't expected to breastfeed because you were giving your baby up, and so we had to walk the long corridors to go to the rooms where the milk were, and I found myself quite poorly, having gone through that traumatic ordeal. So at 10 days old, the social workers had arranged that they would come and collect my son and take him to foster carers, and I didn't see him again, which was a very, very difficult, very traumatic experience for me personally, very emotionally difficult, hugely impacted me in terms of my mental health, and was life transforming in so many different ways, really. So that was my first experience of adoption, was me actually being a relinquishing parent, giving up my son, going through the process, being asked to sign forms that I didn't want to sign, but not being given any alternative, no other option at that point in my life.
Can you tell me what happened later?
I returned back to school, and then eventually kind of life began to stabilise a little bit and my mental health began to improve, and I suppose I threw myself into studying, really. I suppose that was a big escape, thankfully I had enough intellect to be able to hide in books and studying, and so I left Sixth Form College at a time when in terms of choices, I could have made that choice to go off to university, but instead I decided that I wanted to do something useful. I think I was quite motivated in terms of social action and in terms of justice and all those other things that quite often in your teenage years are very powerful for you. And I think my own experience had made me realise just how important having people around were, because when I look back, the social worker that was involved in my life at the time when I was pregnant and was going through the process of giving up my son for adoption, as a role model and as somebody that was a very influential person in my life, I looked at that person and thought, I would like to do that. So I applied to become a social worker, and ultimately was the youngest qualified social worker in Britain, which is a bizarre statistic. And so I set off on that kind of career, really, and then I got married. My husband and I have two birth daughters, and so life was sort of moving along, and again found myself kind of in the middle of doing lots and lots of court reports, lots of work with foster carers, moving children on to adoption, which was quite a powerfully emotional experience, being on the other side of that whole kind of triangle, really. And then I kind of came to a conclusion one day that rather than just chronicling the lives of lots of children, that potentially I could be involved in changing the lives of a few, and so my husband and I decided that we would become foster carers and then adopters. So now we have seven children who we have raised, eight including my son. And that for us has been kind of life transforming in itself, really, because I've been able personally to be an adopter, to take care of other women's children, to love them, to give them a home, to receive them, do for them what somebody else did for my son and for me. That was a hugely, hugely important thing, hugely important part of my life and our life together as a family.
If you could just sort of give us the final part of the story.
Okay, well, having adopted children and permanently fostered them, and having started a fostering and post-adoption support service, it kind of became hugely part of our lives, what we were doing day to day, living, eating, sleeping and breathing, the whole thing really. And then the law changed. Up until that point, it was lawful for children, young people who'd been relinquished to search for their birth family, but it was not lawful for relinquishing parents to seek after their children. But that all changed, and so I made the decision to get in touch with the adoption agency who my son had been placed through, and to have some counselling with a social worker, which again was an interesting experience, and to make that decision to look at writing a letter. And I think the thing that I agonised over the most was about me not knowing who he was, where he was, what his life had become, and actually what the impact of me invading his life would be on him. And that was quite a difficult decision, because I didn't feel that I had the right to impose myself upon him. But emotionally, I had always thought about him, prayed for him, cared for him in my heart in that place. I suppose really just in terms of the depths of who you are as a person, that he was always very much part of who I am. And so I made that decision that I would take that risk, really, because he could always say no, but I would hope that he would say yes. And so I wrote my letter, and as things turn out, what was quite amazing was that our letters literally crossed in the post. What had happened is that my son had got married, he'd had a son of his own, and this was the first face that he'd ever looked into to look for recognition, to look for the shape of a face and the colour of eyes and kind of the definition of what it is to have DNA. And that sent him on his own journey in terms of wanting to find me and wanting to find his story. And so, as I say, our letters crossed in the post, and we subsequently started writing backwards and forwards, and then we started with telephone conversations, some of which would last up to 5 hours at a time, whilst we talked through 30 years of our respective histories, what had happened in our lives, what had been important to us, and where we were now as people. And so after all of that, we arranged very tentatively to meet. We travelled to where he lives, and we met in an awful building in social services, because that's the way that it was arranged. Very quickly left there and found ourselves on a lovely piece of grass, taking off our socks and shoes, and him looking at my feet and being able to say it was the first time he'd seen a pair of feet that looked like his. So that was a really, really emotional day, very exciting part of our journey together, and we've now been in touch for 10 years. He came with his wife and his boys to both of our birth daughters' weddings, and we are in constant touch, which for me is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So no sense of reproach or difficulty about that. We just completely accept each other as we are. I don't need him to meet a gap in my life. He certainly doesn't have a me-shaped gap in his life in terms of his mother. His father, he has wonderful parents, but we know that we are important to one another, and we hope that will continue for many years to come.
We hope that you found this episode of Short Stories interesting. And as ever, if you're an adoptee, a birth parent, or an adopter, and you would like to share your perspective or experience, then please do direct message us at our Twitter feed or on our Facebook page.